Turn to 1 Corinthians 6. Let's talk about the theme of glory to God. And let's think about our obligation to that. Verse you're all very familiar with, verse 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Why don't we pray now and we'll get into it. Father, bless the service this morning, the Sunday school, and then the morning service to come. Bless our friend, Brother Ross. Put your hand of great grace and healing and blessing even upon him now. This is typically the downtime, the hard and difficult time after the chemo. And when I just pray that you bless him and help him, heal him completely, and restore him to the vitality and vigor that he has displayed for so many years. We need him. Blessed Hope needs him. And so I pray that he would be completely restored. Bless Miss Cheryl and his family as they travel this difficult road with him. And bless us as we look to the book this morning. Spirit of God, fill me. Let me be a blessing to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. I just make sure I'm talking to the right people. Anybody in here been bought with a price? Okay. I have been redeemed. I've been bought back. I was sold under sin. And God could have left me there. He didn't make me a sinner. I made me a sinner. But God, in his mercy, bought again his fallen creation. That is the great work of redemption. So we're bought with a price. Therefore, because of that, my uncle was the first preacher, and I've heard many since, that said, when you see the word therefore, you should ask yourself, what's that therefore? Therefore, because you were bought with a price, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Christian, you have a ministry. You have a mandate to glorify God. That ought to be something that you think about often. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You see the prolific nature of it. You see the mandate there, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you see how prolific it should be. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, verse 31, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Everything that I do should be motivated by a desire to glorify God. If I eat, if I drink, and God knew Baptists were going to do a lot of that, and then he threw in, and by the way, whatever else you're doing, do all of that to the glory of God. Let me ask you, this isn't preaching, this is teaching, but I do want you to be thoughtful for a moment, if you would. Here's where I want you to be thoughtful. You ready? You make a lot of decisions during the course of a week, and I'm not going to ask you to go back months of time, but I want you to just go back in the last week, from last Sunday to this Sunday. How often in your decision-making did you think, does this give God glory? Okay, I want you to answer that question. I'm not going to answer for you. I don't know you. You don't know me much. I am Jay Reed. I pastor the Peachtree Road Baptist Church in Suwanee, Georgia, about 25 miles north of Atlanta and the suburbs of Atlanta. I am the director of Global Baptist Church Planters. Y'all are a faithful supporter of that. Thank you for that. And so that's who I am, if you're wondering. I'm married to Shannon. I've got pictures if you want to see. She and I have been married for about, I think it's 27 years, and we have 5 children and 2 grandchildren. There, we're friends. We're not going to take the time for you to tell me about you, but you know you, and you were with you in the last week. How many decisions did you make where part of the criterion was, does this give God glory? Now, I've made decisions that, do I like this? Does this bring me happiness? Is this the best I can do? Is this a good deal? Will this bring joy to my family? Is this the right direction for my church? Even in my noble criterion, you know, is this the best for those around me? All of those things should be subservient to this one truth. Does this bring God glory? Because God's glory is not always convenient for us. It's not always easy for us. And I'll say more about that in just a minute. So I'll tell you what, it's a busy time of year. So let me give you a full month. How often during the course of the last month, when you made a decision, what am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? The Bible included what you eat and drink, right? What am I going to do in some financial avenue? Am I going to invest? Am I going to buy? Am I going to sell? Decisions about your children. What am I going to allow them to do? Decisions, you know, about your home. What is the vision for my home, the direction for my home? Maybe you have a ministry place here in the church and you have to make decisions about that. Surely you made lots of decisions at work, right? Okay, so let's think back to pick 10 of them, pick 15, pick 20, and just answer the question. At any point during my thinking, did I go, does that bring God glory? Because the Bible says that I'm bought with a price, therefore I'm to glorify God in my body and spirit. It's kind of my mission, right? Okay. And whatsoever I do, I'm doing this all the time. So is it a priority if I can't think of a decision in the last month where I thought, does this bring God glory? And the reason I'm sharing this with you is because I was startled in my own thinking. I'm a pastor. I'm a head of a mission board. I travel. I was in India and Africa in November. I'll be in India in a few weeks for a crusade. I travel. I'm going to Egypt and Burkina Faso in March and probably Philippines end of the year. There's a lot of mission works that I check on and I pastor a church and I travel and speak. Surely it's something I think about. But even when I'm thinking about church business, am I thinking about, well, is this wise? What does my experience tell me I should do? Maybe I'll counsel with somebody. But do I ever just stop at the point and say, what gives God glory? And I had to be honest. Look, I'll just be transparent with you. I don't know how often I think that way. I hope I arrive at decisions that do that, but, you know, aim at nothing, hit nothing. If I wasn't thinking about it, it's trouble, right? That's where I'm at. So again, if you're set on that, then get your Sunday nap early. But if you're like me, then I needed to kind of reset some things and think, okay. Now, so I began to think about the theme of glory. What are the typical ways we associate bringing God glory? Ephesians 1:12, 1:14, 1:6, Philippians 1:11 talk about the praise of his glory, right? We give God glory by praising him. We're to be to the praise of his glory. That sounds like a mission statement. I'm to glorify God. I'm to praise the Lord. Hey, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, don't let the shout die out. Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You ought to praise God in church. Especially, it's easy to praise the Lord when the preacher's preaching on things that you agree with and you live. But when he's talking about those difficult things, it's almost more essential that you praise God then, because everybody's kind of feeling the angst in the room. And as we move forward in this era of modernity and progressive thinking, things that people used to say amen about, you know, preacher will preach against homosexuality because it's in the Bible, right? And it used to be that people would say amen on that, but now, you know what, we know somebody that is, or we know somebody that's in our family or somebody at work, and we're so browbeaten by, you know, the EEOC stuff, and the human resources are browbeating us. This is not an issue. Don't make it an issue. Don't you dare say this. This is an alternate lifestyle. And if we're not careful, all of a sudden the preacher says something and we're so cowed by the world that we don't say amen. And the visitor comes in and think, well, I tell you what, he thinks it's true, but these people don't. So it's important that we praise God and show agreement in service, and it's important that we praise God. When you sing. And I know we're singing, I'll make you fishers of men, and Zacchaeus was a wee little man this morning. But when you open up the songbook and you sing the songs of Zion, sing them out. Why? Because we're to give glory to God. And the beautiful thing about hymns is they're about him. That's it. It's not spelled the same. It's a play on words. Don't come to me after the service, preacher. Okay. I'm only mostly uneducated, not totally uneducated. Right. Turns out your friend here is only mostly uneducated. All right, so we think typically, praise the Lord. And that's true, and that gives God glory. Turn to Matthew 5:16. Here's the second way we typically think of praising the Lord. And it's true, and I want you just, if you need a little refresher on praising, we'll go to the obvious spots first. Matthew 5:16, the Bible says that men will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All right? And so the second way we praise or bring praise to God is we live like we should.
Right.
Hey, you should be a Christian in name, but you should be a Christian in lifestyle.
Right?
Right? Your neighbors know you go to church, and they probably know what church you go to. This is a church that doesn't hide its stand. I mean, the abortion stuff out there. This is a conservative, independent, fundamental Baptist church. You're that church. Oh, you're the standard church. You're the old time music church. You go to that church, so they know you, and you're here on Sunday school, so you're faithful. So you've got that aspect of your Christianity, but if you take that and add jerk on the top of it, it reflects badly on Christ. It doesn't bring him glory. But if your neighbor has a need and you help him out, that brings glory to God. If Christian is not just a noun, it's a verb, right? We're acting Christian. We're being a Christian, right? Then okay, and we know that. So good works, praising God, these are familiar themes here. Turn to John 15. I'll give you the third way. If you're out there and you're a student of the Bible, you're thinking, all right, bringing glory to God, we need to praise him, we need to live like a Christian so that they'll see our good works and glorify. Hey, the beautiful thing about the good works is your life brings glory to God, but it causes others to glorify God as well. And enough damage has been done under this guise. Well, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want anything to do with it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there were people out there who said, I tell you what, if that's what a Christian is, I want some of that.
Yes, sir.
That's salt. Salt creates, it makes everything better, right? Man, I'm a ribeye guy. Some of you girly men like fillets, but real men love ribeyes, right? Because fat, right? And my wife's like, it's got too much fat. And I'm like, is that even a sentence, too much fat? Come on. And ribeye's awesome sauce because you can eat the fat in a ribeye. We'll all die young, but we'll die happy. You healthy people are going to be really embarrassed laying in hospitals dying of nothing one day. When I die, they're going to say, fat, aspartame. They're going to say, we know why he's dead. He had it coming. But you health nuts are going to be dead. What happened? Lester Roloff, he ate like a champ, right, and died in a plane crash. You might as well do something to make you smile on the way out, right? That's where it's at, y'all. There's a preacher I heard. His name was Buddy Cargill. He was just hilarious. I wish I could tell you Buddy Cargill stories. But he was just gruff and rough. And he said, every real man had a real distinct act. Every real man needs about a pint of grease every day to keep his bones lubricated. He died of a heart attack at 62. Anyhow, but God, happy, right? I'm telling you, man. Pork chop in one hand. And anyway, Diet Coke to balance it out. Balanced diet, right? I have no idea why I'm where I'm at. A ribeye.
Salt,
that's right. Listen, I love a ribeye. Let me tell you something. You can cook a ribeye just right and don't put any salt on it. It's just meat. That salt makes it wonderful. The Christian life is not easy. I know the way of the transgressor is hard, but understand, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. This world will never agree with Christianity. So if people are going to decide this is what I want to do, they understand that they're signing up for a pretty rough road. What makes that attractive? Salty Christians. Christians that bring salt to the meat of Christianity. And you're to be salt and light. And listen, our message is what our message is. We don't change that. We have to preach the Bible the way it is. But boy, we should be happy and joyful of all people. And living a joyful Christian life brings glory to God. And the good works, boy, they can deny our gospel, deny our Bible, but they can't deny the good things you do in Christ's name. And before you think that's shallow, Jesus sure fed a lot of people and healed a lot of people when he was on planet Earth. Amen? Okay, it wasn't just that he preached. He did. He preached tough. He said, you adulterers and adulteresses. He's rough. Okay, whited sepulchers. He's tough. But, boy, he's helping and healing. And those good works bring glory to God. John 15, and here's the third way. You'd have thought of it already. The third way, herein is my Father glorified, that you bring forth much fruit when we're fruitful Christians. Now, we know that that's the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, you know those things. Being filled with the Holy Spirit will produce that fruit. You don't produce that fruit just by thinking I'm going to produce fruit any more than a plant has to think about it. You just get filled with the Spirit of God, and that fruit will come because that's His fruit, not yours. The fruit of the Spirit is. And that's why Ephesians emphasizes being filled with the Spirit. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. But we also know that being fruitful is winning people to Jesus Christ. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. And so winning souls to Christ brings glory to God. We know that there's joy in the presence of the angel over one sinner that repenteth, right? So winning souls to Christ brings glory to God. We should be fruitful Christians. Now, those are three you thought of. Let me give you three maybe you hadn't thought of. And these are the ones that dealt with my heart. Go all the way back to Joshua chapter 7. We're going to land this plane exactly on time because I am a professional preacher. I don't say that with airs. I just get paid to do this. That just means I'm a pro. And that means I'm a very, there's all levels of pros, but I do get paid for this. People do pay me to do this. So I can see the clock. Some of you are like, can he see the clock? Yes, I can see the clock. And I will finish on time. I tell my church that every week. We're going to be on time today. But I never tell them what on time is. And they're always like, what is on time? And I'm like, well, whenever I get done, that's on time. But the brother told me a quarter after, so we'll be done by a quarter after. All right, are you in Joshua chapter 7? And look down at verse number 19, Joshua chapter 7. This is one maybe you hadn't thought of. Here it is, Joshua 7 and verse number 19. And Joshua said unto Achan, this is a story we don't even want to think about now, but here we go. Watch this. Give, I pray thee, glory to God, or glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. Listen, God gets glory when we get honest.
Right.
Amen. And here's what you think. Well, I'm honest with God. Are we? Do we pretend like things aren't as bad in our life as maybe they are? I think John Donne said, above all to thine own self be true. Don't lie to yourself, but listen to me, friend. Don't lie to God. You said, oh, people don't lie to God. Ananias and Sapphira did, didn't they?
Yes.
You lied to the Holy Ghost. He's God, right?
Right.
Okay. Who attempted you to lie to the Holy Ghost? So you can lie to the Holy Ghost. You can lie to God. You can say things aren't as bad as they are. Ananias and Sapphira said, oh, we're given just as much as anybody else. We're giving it all, you know, in a manner of speaking. We don't have to give any of it. What difference does it make? How big a deal is it that we're not giving everything, but we're letting people think we are? We're still giving, right? A minute ago, the church didn't have it. Now they do. They have a goodly sum just because it's not all. How big a deal is that? Listen, it wasn't just that they were deceiving the people out here. They were deceiving the Holy Ghost. And God says we give glory to God when we get honest. Here's Achan. He's caught in his sin. There's not a lot he can do in his current situation to give glory to God. But apparently there is.
Yes.
by being honest with God, that gives him glory. And this is the last opportunity this man is going to have before judgment falls.
Right?
Right?
Yep.
So even in a terrible situation, even if you're over your head in something, and if you are, you ought to get some help on that. Listen, if you've tried to quit 20 times or 30 times or 50 times or 100 times and it hadn't worked without getting some help, that's what accountability is about. The Bible says in the book of James, we confess our faults one to another that will be healed. Okay? We confess our sin to God. He forgives us immediately. That's God and positionally. But that doesn't heal what's broken in us. A fault is something that goes all the way down to the core of our being. Okay? This isn't just a flaw. This is a fault line. You know, San Andreas, California, fault. Okay? And when we confess our fault to someone else, listen, darkness and lying hides addiction, but light. When we let the light in of honesty, then the whole body's full of light and sin can't hide anymore. So listen, if you're dealing with addiction, if you're dealing with that sort of thing, get some help. Talk to somebody about that. Talk to the preacher about it. Talk to an assistant pastor. Now, you need to be careful who you talk to. That's the reason you need to talk to the preacher more than likely, because you're going to tell people that kind of secret. They need to be trustworthy. Okay, that's why we go to there's implied confidentiality when you come in the preacher's office. Now, if you confess to being a murderer or a serial rapist, we got to go tell the cops, all right? We can't, preacher, I want to tell you something, but you can't tell anybody. I steal babies and sell them on eBay. No, we can't. There's no confidentiality there, right? But confessing your fault one to another. But listen to me, friend. Revival starts when we get honest with God about what's going on in our life. And God gets glory when we do that. Maybe you should quit nibbling around the edges. Maybe I should quit nibbling around the edges and just come to God and say, God, I'm broken. A broken and contrite heart, he won't despise. Right?
Yes, sir.
The sacrifices of God are a broken heart. Get honest with God, and God gets glory. God gets glory because we trust him enough to tell him how things really are. I know you say you trust God, but if you won't be honest with him, do you truly trust him? See, we look at faith as the extension, and it is. Faith is reaching out. We trust God to reach out. But do you trust God enough to reach in and look inside? God gets glory. I really never thought about it before, but there it is. It's black and white. I'm not making this up. I went to a college that taught me I could make stuff up, but I'm not doing that right now. This is in the Bible. There it is, right? Give God the glory. How? By making a confession. Tell him what's going on. Do you have sins that to men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus alone. Okay, so there's one way to give God glory, right? We want to give God glory. It's our mandate. Glorify God in your body and your spirit. It's all the time, whatsoever you do. So I want to give God glory. And we looked at the three obvious ways, but maybe three less obvious ways for us to give God glory. Because I know you want to do that now. I want to do it now. You're a Christian. When I brought it to your attention just now, if you're a born-again believer, you thought, man, I need to do that. I need to be better at it. That's what you thought, because that's what I thought. Because I'm a Christian. I know I'm a preacher and I talk for a living, but I also am a Christian. And the Holy Spirit deals with me like he deals with you. Okay, so I can make a full confession to God. Here's the second way. Turn to John chapter 21. John 21. Hurry, because we have to finish on time. We have 3 minutes left. I don't know if I can turn to John in 3 minutes. John 21. I should have marked these pages. That would have been handy. John 21. And I'll show you another one. Maybe you're thinking of it as you're turning to it now. He's going to say that. Maybe this is going to totally blindside you. John chapter 21. I remember when Brother Jerry would preach with his sunglasses, not his glasses, his reading glasses out here like that. He would do it. Oh, goodness sakes. He would preach like that. And now I do it. And he's still like, oh, look at that old dude up there. Listen, the only alternative to getting old is dying young. So I guess let's do it. All right. John 21. And look at verse 19. John 21, this spake he, signifying by what What death he should glorify God.
Amen.
Giving up our life for Christ brings glory to him. Our Christianity hasn't cost us an awful lot in America. We've enjoyed so much freedom, but you know that's changing, right? And I learned to type. They told us to type. Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country. Now is the time for all good men. Well, listen, now is the time for all good men to stand up for Jesus Christ. And it may cost us. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We're there. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Listen, that's where we are now. Okay? We're in the last of the last days. So, listen, I know the rapture's coming, but I don't know if we're not going to get a rupture before we get a rapture. And I'm not talking we're going through the tribulation. We're not. We're not appointed to wrath. But I am saying this. We may not have it as easy all the way to the end as we've had it up until now. And if our Christianity cost us, will we pay that cost? If you pay that cost, it brings glory to God. If you're willing, remember the disciples, they got beaten and they went away rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. Boy, we suffer for Christ and we're like, oh, it's terrible. They suffer for Christ. It's wonderful. Why? Because it brings glory to God. And suffering and death can bring glory to God if we go through it as a Christian ought to. The last one I want you to see is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul says in verse 5 and verse 6 and verse 9 that he will glory in his infirmities. God gets glory when we go through difficulty like a Christian. You know what your pastor's doing right now? He's going through infirmities. But you know what he's doing all the way through it? He's glorifying God. When we can praise God in the good times, that's something we ought to do. Praise is comely anytime. It looks good on you. But when you can praise God in the tough times, that's when it really means something. Listen to me, church. I know not only is your pastor hurting, not only is Miss Cheryl hurting, not only are the pastor's children and grandchildren hurting, I know you as a church are hurting. But if you can praise God as your pastor goes through this valley, and don't go to him and say, hey, preacher, we're so glad you're going through it. I'm talking, you know what I mean. Come on, don't be weird. Why do Christians think it's okay to be weird? Don't do that. I've got to finish. I'm done. But it's our job to bring glory to God. So I want you to think about it. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. So in all thy ways, think about giving glory to God. Add that to your list of decision-making criteria. And do the usual things that you think. Win people to Christ and praise the Lord and have good works. But listen, also confess your sin. Also be prepared to glorify God in life and death through persecution. And when you're going through it, when you're going through the deepest valleys of your life, keep on praising the Lord because that brings glory to his name. Hey, Revelation 4 and verse 11, thou art worthy, O Lord. He's worthy of our praise, is he not? Father, bless us. We love you. Thank you for the time together. In Jesus' name, amen.